how great I am. Great I am. Great I am.
This kid's going to be somebody better than anybody ever knew.
All right, folks. All right. We are back. We are back. Season 2, episode 2, the overall episode number 25. I got my main man, Darian Colbert from Cohesion. Not only that, he's a family man, pastor, youth pastor, motivational speaker, community leader, community activist. I mean, you name it, this guy in the Lehigh Valley and abroad has been around and just done great things for our community. Darian, how you doing, man? How's life?
Life is well. Life is well, man. I'm doing really good. I'm busy, which is a good thing, but life is well and life is good. And even when it's not that good, I'm blessed to look at a struggle as an opportunity to grow and to learn.
Awesome, man. It's great to have you on. Obviously I've met you through community events and community initiatives. And obviously now you're taking it to a whole different level. We'll get into that. I mean, I went to one of your meetings this past week for my government job, but it was just to see how many people were there fully engaged, you and your wife, leading the charge on that aspect. It's just so encouraging. Just like I said in the meeting, it's so encouraging to see so many folks be there to work together to try to make our communities better. So I commend you on that. So tell us about you. I know you're from the Lehigh Valley, you're from Allentown, but I know a lot of folks know you, but for the folks that are going to listen to this podcast for the first time, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself, man, growing up in Allentown, Lehigh Valley.
Yep. So I grew up in Allentown's first ward. Many people consider parts of Allentown as wards. Some people in the past have called it hoods and ghettos. Many people have called it Second Street. I call it home. It was home for me. That's where I grew up. I went to Sheridan Elementary, Harrison Morton, and I graduated from Deerhoff. And so that's the neighborhood that I grew up in. There's one other Cobra in Allentown, or well, there's a bunch of them now, but growing up was just me and my brother, Harry. We grew up in a single parent home, but my mom was big on making sure we went to school, got our education. And so that's what we did. You know, I did not go to college right out of high school. I chose a retail career. That's back when Circuit City was somebody, you know what I mean? And then once Circuit City began to diminish, I moved on to Best Buy and really took off in a retail career. Ended my career limited, a very, very successful career in retail. But my heart's passion was pastoring. And I transitioned out of that in 2005. And I've been doing social work ever since. Since 1997, I've been working with young people, youth, families. So that's kind of what I do.
That's great, man. And again, the work is seen. Folks, if you haven't seen Mr. Colbert out and about, I mean, you haven't been out and about because this man is everywhere. It's wonderful to see. We have a lot of folks. And that's the thing about our city and our Lehigh Valley, man. Yes. Lately, the last couple of years, people are engaged, man. Mm-hmm. I saw you out there, you know, obviously when everything happened with George Floyd, you were out there trying to keep the peace, kind of keep the calm, but also, you know, out there being an activist and doing your duty as a community leader, you know, keeping everything, in shape and ready to go and holding people accountable. So I commend you on that. So let's talk about a little bit about Allentown. You mentioned Allentown. You said you grew up in the ward, right? Tell us a little bit about that, man. How was that growing up?
So, you know, people said, you know, the first ward in Allentown was probably one of the worst neighborhoods in Allentown for really, they say 30 plus, some people say 40 plus years running. It was home for me and it was safety for me. Now there's things that happen in communities like that are definitely a little different, but I don't know, man. I just felt like it was home and it was safe. And I really felt like for me, school was safe for me. So Sheridan, Harrison, Morton, and Deerhoff, man, like people can talk about teachers and systems, but I had really good teachers and I can name teachers in Sheridan. I can name teachers in Harrison Warren and in Deerhoff that cared about me, cared enough about me to say, yo, COVID, man, get your act together. And like, they cared enough about me to say something to me. But a really interesting and a true story is, and so my wife Yolanda and I, we met in 1982 at Harrison Morton. We were the first sixth grade class ever at Harrison Morton. So in 1981, Harrison Morton was seventh, eighth, and ninth grade. So in 1982, it transitioned to a middle school, all the schools. And so we were the first sixth grade class. And that's where I met Yolanda in 1982. And I remember September of 1982, I told this lady, Veronica Ortega, girl, Veronica Ortega, I'm gonna marry that girl. And really not knowing her, I just saw her. I thought she was pretty. And I said, I'm going to marry her. And lo and behold, you know, I always say we dated in seventh and eighth grade, but seventh and eighth grade dating is like, that's my girlfriend, that's my boyfriend. There really wasn't anything. But we carried that on to 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. And we graduated from Deerhoff High School in 1989. And we were the cutest couple. And so Allentown, just not that ward. I think you remember, Lewis, because you grew up in Allentown. You can go anywhere. You can go to Ithaca. You can go up to Washington. You can go up to Central. I can go all across the city and play basketball, football. And that's what we did. And we just went into one another's neighborhoods and we were able to play. Like Washington had dunkable courts. And so, you know, me being short, I can dunk at Washington and Southern Central. And you remember those courts, you can dunk on them. So we would go and play. And that's how really Allentown has always been kind of this family, you know, where you can go across East Side, South Side, you can go different spaces and places and play, whether it's football, basketball, or just going around to kick it with some friends. Yeah. And that's kind of how I remember Allentown. But like the first ward, second street, that was my home. So every time we cross that border in Basin Street or we come across the bridge from East Side, we're like, we take a deep breath, like we're home. That was our community that I grew up in, which was rich with diversity, Syrians, Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, Blacks, Whites, you name it. That community was rich with diversity, very, very inclusive. And so we grew up kind of knowing different types of folks and people.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing that I love about us growing up here, right? So we got to see all types. We got to see, you know, our fellow Puerto Ricans. We got to see African Americans. We get to see white folks. And at that time, I mean, for me, you know, I enjoyed the entire aspect of that life, right? So when I, just a quick story, when I was in the Navy, I went down to Texas, right? And I'm not hating on Texas, but we went to Galveston, Texas. And this is the first time I ever experienced this. So we hit Galveston, Texas. I think we had to like refuel on the ship or something. And they let us out for like a day or two in Galveston, right? Never been to Texas, never been to Galveston. And so we're in, first of all, Texas, if you've ever been to Texas, like there's no mountains, right? Well, in Galveston, there was no mountains. It's just straight land, you know? So you're like, what the heck is this? You know what I'm saying? You know, you're used to the valley, Lehigh Valley, right? So we get off the ship. We start walking with my two white friends. And we're walking towards, we don't even know. We're trying to get to the bars. We're trying to just get to the area where the food is at. And somebody stops us and he's like, hey, buddy, you're probably going the wrong way. And I'm like, we look at each other like, what are you talking about? He's like, you probably won't go that way. So we were headed somewhere where they kind of warned us not to go. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so first time I ever experienced, but in Lehigh Valley, I was shocked. I was like, man, what do you mean we can't go that way? What you mean? You know, and what he was telling us is that's probably not an area you want to go to, right? Mm-hmm. But we didn't experience that in Lehigh Valley, you know, in Allentown, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's something that, you know, for me, I really enjoyed as a kid. Obviously, our parents, you know, kind of gave us the insight, especially in the 90s, you know, there were some struggles down Second Street and stuff like that. And it is what it is. I'm sure maybe you experienced some of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, like back in the 90s, man, that was on and popping, you know what I mean? So that's when, I mean, really in the 90s, crack was all over our city, you know what I mean? And so obviously that neighborhood was riddled with crack. And so, yeah, we definitely had that experience and it was a dangerous time, if I'm being honest. I wouldn't say for me, but for other people coming through there, it wasn't a safe time. So if you were from that community protected you, but if you weren't, different.
Yeah. And again, I mean, even to this day, you know, in my government job, people know what I do for a living. I feel comfortable anywhere, you know, and that's important. You know, I feel comfortable I could walk in any alley at any time and feel comfortable in our city. And that's because we grew up here, you know? So tell us about that, man. So you get into the community work. Let's talk about that a little bit. Cause I know when I first met you, I believe we were working with the Lehigh County and
juvenile probation,
a youth, initiative with Lehigh County, juvenile probation.
Yeah.
And that's when I met you and I started to research you, you know, and see what you're about. And then we connected on social media and you start doing all this community work. So, so take us on that little journey of how you start working in the community like that.
Got you. So I would say, in all transparency, it's probably 24 years ago, 11 months and one day ago, which was March 31st, 1997 at 12:32 p.m.
Wow, specific.
Really, yeah, yeah. My life changed. And really what happened is I didn't find God. God found me and I got saved. And that's what really happened. And once I got saved 24 years ago, 11 months and one day today at 12:32 p.m., it changed. A lot of my friends that I grew up with, like my boy Whopper, my friend Bert, rest in peace. They always say that was already in me as a young kid, is to be part of the community and to give back. But I wasn't living out of that because I didn't know who I was and I really didn't believe in myself. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was I got saved and that changed. And then I really got thrust into, I want to say, the social work, right? So mm-hmm. I started working with young people and families. And that's really how I started out working with in the community. And then at the church I went to, they were like, outreach. And I was all about boots on the ground. Let's go talk to the people. And I wanted to tell everyone the message. So I was on Allen Street, Turner Street, Elgar Street, Clay Street. This brother was everywhere talking. And so I think that's where initially this passion for community happened. And then I began to grow and we began to do outreaches out in all corners of the community. And that's where I got connected with different people. And then as I was outreaching, our senior pastor said, you know, this brother needs to be on our team. So they kind of brought me on board, but they brought me on board with this stipulation. I simply told them, I'm not that guy that's going to sit at a desk and play a youth pastor. I need to be out in the community. So if you're going to hire me, you need to know that I'm going to go talk to the superintendent. I'm going to say, hey, how can I help? I'm going to go talk to juvenile probation. Hey, how can I help? And that's literally what I did. And in doing that, I did not know that I was building this resume in the community. Mm-hmm. And I want to say a resume of connection. Yeah, and so when youth law enforcement curriculum came around, that's where I really met you. And I remember outside in the hall when I first connected with you, man, we had a connection in that hallway. And you told me you were from Allentown. You shared your passion. I shared my passion. I connected with you big time there. And it really was around our community and how to make it better. And so for me, that's where it kind of got started. And then I played it through the church world. And then I left the church world in 2014. I left and went to North Carolina.
Yeah, I heard. Let me tell you something. I remember that. Yeah,
because that's where I met you before I went. And when I left, I came back. I think I left ungrateful for the gift that we have in the Valley. Mm-hmm. And I was in Raleigh, North Carolina for 5 months. No disrespect to Raleigh, North Carolina. I still visit it. My best friend Bill still lives there. And I love Raleigh. But I came back and I was like, wow, the gift of the Lehigh Valley is you can interact with all different types of people. And it's not really a big deal. So we came back. We kind of left ungrateful for the Lehigh Valley, Allentown. And we came back super grateful for Allentown. So that kind of began my journey. Once I got back, I just stepped right back into it, kept working with juvenile probation. You know, I was a chaplain with the Allentown Police Department. I connected with some of my old people there, and I just stayed connected to the community. And you said something when a George Floyd event happened, many people think, Justin Parker first did an event. And then also after that, we had someone else do an event. Vic LaBoy did an event. And how I met Vic LaBoy is through the chief at the time, Glenn, because Glenn reached out to me because he knew I worked in the community. He said, hey, we have someone that said that they're going to have a nonviolent protest, but they won't be peaceful. I'm concerned. And so I reached out to him through social media and I said, hey, can we connect? And I said, hey, the mayor and the chief want to talk to you. And he goes, well, hold on. Before we do that, I want to talk to you to see if I'm going to get down with you. And then we connected face to face, my wife and I and Vic LaBoy. And then after that, he said, all right, I'm down. And that's how we come. So that's how I got connected to the movement. It's through young people, Justin Fields Parker and Vic LaBoy. And then just like the chief went, hey, we just want to make sure nothing jumps off. So I call people from the community like, hey, if they're going to protest, let's have people in the back, in the middle, in the front, just making sure ain't no one breaking nothing, doing nothing. Why? Because I had connections with adults and young people. And that's we just invaded that protest and make sure that we're going to have a nonviolent, but we won't be peaceful. And what he meant by that was we're going to make some noise. Yeah, and so that's kind of how I continued on the community work. And I built some really, really good, solid relationships with other community members that I knew of, but I didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, and again, you know, I was just talking, I just met this past week with, Dr. Stanford, from, the new superintendent for Allentown School District. And he asked me a very, very important question. He said, you know, what do we need to do better? You know, what can we do better? And what do you think and when he was talking about, you know, the community when it comes to the students and the parents and things like that. And I said, well, you know, communication, relationships and how important communication is to the relationship. And I even mentioned the protests. I said, because there was good communication. There was people willing to sit down at the tables and talk. Mm-hmm. There were people willing to listen. There were no major issues. You know, everybody worked together to allow their constitutional rights to flourish, you know, to look good, especially to the public. Outsiders probably looking in, oh, look, another protest, another walk, whatever. Yeah, but you know what? Constitutional rights were protected. That's and right. Everything was good because there was good communication and good relationships. So I commend you on that. And then that's when I found out about the nonprofit, Cohesion. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, man, this man is like making moves. Every time I see you, you and your wife are making moves. And so I'm like, man, I got to find out about that. And then obviously the rest is history, but let's let folks know, you know, tell us about your nonprofit. Tell us, is that something that kind of came from that? Or is that something that was already in the process, or what is it about and what's the purpose?
Yeah. So our purpose is, so the if you look at our mission, it's we collaborate with residents, organizations, and local governments to empower one another to flourish and become leaders who create lasting change. And when you think about that phrase in itself, right, I like the word collaborate, empower, you know what I mean? When you look at that and then become. And when you, collaboration is the key. Like I always say, collaboration is the key. We can't do anything. So when you said about the protest, the reason why it was successful, it was communication, right? But it was collaboration. Communication through collaboration. So we collaborated. We had the mayor, we had the chief, we had the captains, we had the people that wanted to approach. We had Justin, we had Vic LaBoy and other community stakeholders. We brought them all in and said, hey, and then so many other people, Lehigh Valley Stands Up got involved. And what did? We built this kind of team to make sure that nothing's going to jump off, not on our watch. And I'm not going to be one of those crazy things that things happen. So guess what happened through our communication and collaboration? It was peaceful. And here's the cool thing about it. We didn't agree with everything. We obviously disagreed with a lot of different points, but the one thing we did agree on is we love the city of Allentown and we want it to be safe. And that's what collaboration does. Collaboration, when you collaborate in its truest form, it creates safety and it's also healthy. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's what happened during that time. So really my mission is to collaborate with residents, organizations, and local governments so we can empower one another. But to do that, you have to build relationships even when you disagree. You know, it's almost like being in a family, right? When you disagree with your sibling, that's still your sibling, right? Even when we have disagreements in the community, we are still a community.
Absolutely.
And that's cohesion is all about collaborating and building one another up. And we do three things. We don't do a whole lot of things. We do three things. We do community organizing, like the meeting you were at. So we and what really what that is to equip leaders already living in that community, to equip them and amplify and advocate their voices. And they tell us what their community needs. I think you know this, man. If you sit down in a residence, so many times, especially in cities, we come in, the city comes, this is what we're going to do because this is what we think you need. No, I'm sorry. Even in Allentown, historically speaking, when we engage the residents and ask them what they think their community needs, guess what? They tell us. And when we do what they tell us to do, it works. It's successful. It's powerful. It's dynamic. Why? Because they were involved in the process. And so for us, man, it's taking a city block by block, right? So if we have a leader on every single block throughout the city, guess what happens, man? It's a safer city. You know what I mean? So imagine moving in on 2nd and Turner and someone comes knocks on your door, say, I know you moved here. Here's a welcome back. Here's when garbage night is. Here's this night. And if you need any help, I'm a community block ambassador. Any questions, I'm here for you. Also, we want to let you know if anything negative happens in this community, let us know. We'll go knock on some doors, talk to some people, because we believe in sitting down and having a conversation. We're just not going to call the police. We have agency so we can talk to them. We can communicate with them just to make sure that people will understand we love our block and we don't want anything jumping off on this block. And that's imagine having one of those on every single block throughout the city. You know what I mean? And guess what? Our city will be safer. It'll be healthier. And it'll be avenues, on ramps to conversations and collaboration. Why? Because we have block ambassadors throughout the entire city saying, hey, this is our city and we care about it.
Love it.
So that's community organizing.
I love it, man. I love it. And again, this is when you are, and I'm not saying you got to be from here, but when you're from somewhere, you just have that extra passion, right? That extra love for that home. You know, this is your home. Not just the house that you live in, but the store that you go to. The people that you live next to, the churches that we go to, the communities that you go and you try to better, right? The programs that you try to build, you know, that all matters, you know, and you become extra passionate about it because it's your home, you know? So not saying that it couldn't go global or it couldn't go national. Obviously that's the whole goal, right? So we have a safer nation or safer world. But on this level, man, you're rocking it, love it. So Cohesion, Love it. Kind of the same concept here at SC360, socially connected. We want to connect folks. Want to make sure that you're connected on 360 degrees. So what we do is we'll post on iHeartRadio. We post on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook. I mean, you name it. We have our promos on TikTok. So that's the whole concept, man, just to connect folks with wonderful community leaders just like you. And so I appreciate you coming on the show. What is the most memorable community moment or a moment in the community that really sticks out to you, like in the last couple of years?
So I'm going to answer that question, but I do have to say that COVID happened, right? So when you talk about memories, you got to go back to COVID. So when in the midst of COVID, right, March, we were impacted, everything shut down, school shut down. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening was, the Caring Place, Miss Mary. So, I literally quit my job in November, 2019, because we also do character education. So we do community organizing, character education, and we do positive discipline. Well, character education, we had all these contracts in the Allentown School District, parent workshops we were doing, and we got a really, really big contract. So I knew I couldn't work a full-time job and do that. So I quit. I had three jobs. I quit the other two jobs, and I focused in on cohesion. That was 2019. COVID hits us. Mm. All my contracts went away.
Oh, man.
And so because I'm a man of faith, I pivoted and trusted God. And I said, okay, God, what are you telling me to do? And he said, go out and serve in the community. So I just, Caring Place, Miss Mary, she was giving out food packages because a lot of kids weren't going to school. And we know this, kids that don't go to school, sometimes that's their breakfast and lunch. Absolutely. That's what they get. And so what ended up happening was Miss Mary was making all these lunches. She was passing on Cumberland Gardens and other parts of the city. But I said, what about the first and sixth ward, right? Mm-hmm. And so I reached out to her and she started giving me 55 lunch and dinners, right? And I would deliver them. So I would go pick up 55 on Monday and 55 on Wednesday. Wow. And the kids had lunch and dinner Monday and Tuesday and lunch and dinner Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Wow, so in partnership with her. And this goes right to the story. So I'm out in the community doing that, but out in the community doing that, I run into people that I grew up with. And I met this lady and I go to her house and I'm giving her food. And she says, hey, my granddaughter goes to Trexler. And remember, Allentown School District didn't transition well, so they didn't have laptops. Oh, so she said, my granddaughter needs laptops, right? And this is the power of the community. I'm delivering food in partnership with Miss Mary. The granddaughter doesn't have a laptop. I called Unidos Foundation, Yamalisa Deveris, and said, hey, this family needs a laptop. Within 24 hours, she had headphones, a laptop, and everything, and a USB, everything she needed. Why? Because of connections. Yes. And so that when I want to think about the most memorable thing is delivering that food. And what it allowed me to do, Lewis, was, you know, my heart is already in the community, mm-hmm. but boots on the ground, it allowed my heart to kind of feel and see and touch people in the midst mm-hmm. of a pandemic. Yeah. You know, and that was powerful. And then I was able to meet a need simply by being connected to Unidos Foundation. Here was a family in an alley of our community that was just felt like stuck. And within mm-hmm. 24 hours, we met that need. That is Allentown, brother. Yeah. And so when you talk about one of the most memorable things, I would have to say it's watching that unfold, watching other community members do that thing. Miss Mary's cooking. Unidos mm-hmm. Foundation was getting laptops of people. And me was just saying, I'm just like, hey, I'm out there just, can I serve? Can I do anything? And so that's the power of community.
Cohesion at its best. Cohesion at its best.
Yeah. So that's what happened, man. So cohesion means the action of forming a more united whole. And I felt like that really, really, really expressed our name so well right there. So that's one of the most memorable things about the last couple of years.
That's phenomenal, man. That's phenomenal. And again, there's so many to choose from. I mean, when you do good and you keep doing good, you have so many things to go back to and memories and say, man, I remember this and I remember that. And then you get folks coming up to you. Hey, man, thank you. I was only a little kid at this mm-hmm. time, but so many years ago, you helped me. And if it wasn't for you, you know, those type of things. Right. So mm-hmm. there's so much to choose from. Wonderful story. Again, that's the power of being out there and doing. And I tell people all the time. They come to me and they're like, just like they come to you. Hey, man, I want to get involved. I want to do this. What can I do? Man, find where they're getting together. Mm-hmm. And get there.
Come on.
And by you getting there, you're going to get involved because that energy is going to be contagious. And then the rest is history after that. I mean, a lot of people think it's hard. You know, I don't have time for this. No, man, just show up. Once you show up and you see that this energy is right and then you feel good about doing good, because it's the greatest thing in the world for that feeling that night when you got that laptop and then you ended up connecting everybody, you got the food there. I guarantee you, you went to bed that night and you're like, I'm doing God's work. you know,
come on,
that was work. And that's what it's about. So love it. Love it. Love it. Couple more questions. Pastoring, motivational speaking, right? And then obviously counseling and things like that. Those three things. Tell me a little bit about each one. Just paraphrase. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about pastoring?
Pastoring is, I would say, humility. First thing, humility. First thing is humility.
Wonderful. Humility in that, in which way?
So when you look at pastors, so I was in Africa. I was in Uganda, right? Village of Katibo, right? And this is what they think about the American church. They're there. They're in. So I go there first time in Africa. I'm in Uganda, 2009. And we're doing this activity to tell them about clean water. Now, they've never seen clean drinking water. So they saw water like this and they thought I was rubbing alcohol. Because we actually put this water board off of Lake Victoria and converted 500 gallons of water. So anyway, I bend down to wash their hands because their hands were all dirty. I'm washing their hands. And the guy goes, he goes, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean? I'm washing your hands. He was like, in our country, pastors bow before no one. And I was like, I said, well, Jesus washed feet. So what do you mean? And he was like, no. In our country, no one and that's a concept. So for me, it's always humility because I always have to remember when I look at Jesus, Jesus says, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. He's my role model, not anybody. He's the role model. And so when I think about humility, I need to understand that I am there to serve. You know what I mean? So that's why I say humility when I think about pastor.
Love it. Love it. Counseling. First thing that comes to mind.
Counseling is pain shows no prejudice. So I can make a connection when I counsel people because pain shows no prejudice. No matter what age you are, color you are, race you are, language you speak, pain shows no prejudice. So I look at it like when I think about counseling, man, I need to understand that I also have stuff. So I engage people on a level ground, not from this mentoring to mentee. I look at that as a friendship. So it's, there's no levels like I'm above you. No. We sit in this space together, recognizing that we all have pain. We all got stuff. I don't care who you are. Everybody got stuff. And so I sit in that space of counseling and I make sure that people understand that we're sitting here together and we're going to work through this together, but I'm no better than you because I might be giving you some advice. We're going to learn and grow together. So when I think counseling, that's what I think about.
Love it, man. Love it. All right. This is near and dear to me because, you know, obviously, you know, my past, I did a lot of motivational speaking, especially for like a good before COVID 3 years. I went everywhere, Lehigh University, all the high schools. I've done a lot of motivational speaking. Motivational speaking, the first thing that comes to mind.
Identity. You got to know who you are. Oof. You got to know who you are, man. I think you know this, listen, I've seen you operate just like when you were at the community meeting, people kept coming up to you afterwards. You were like, I got to go. And people kept coming up to you because you operate and function within who you are. That's attractive. And so your identity, because listen, I have this quote, right? And this is for our first lesson of our character program. This is when you act fake and you're not real, you hold back all those things that make you different from everyone else. And you rob the world of the real you. And you got to know who you are. You got to know who you are, because when you operate and function from your truest self, man, that power goes out. And I'm telling you now, people can feel that. Absolutely. And that's transformative because people look at that. I mean, sometimes I talk to people and they start crying while I'm talking to them. I'm like, because I sit in that space because this is who I am. Yeah. I am a little loud, but I'm passionate and I love good and hard. Yeah, and so when I engage people and I start talking to people, people get emotional. And it is because I'm operating from my truest self, which is an encourager, an empathetic person, a passionate person. But I also believe in that we-ness, right? So I speak from that place. So anyway, I get fired up.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And this is the thing, you know, I tell people all the time, and I heard this from another motivational speaker, but it's so true. When you care about the people that you are speaking to, your message will be that much more powerful because it's not about you, right?
Come on.
You got to know who you are. I totally agree. You have to know that you are that genuine person, but you got to know that you're doing it because you care about the people that you're talking to. And not only that, it will calm you down. Because you're doing it for the right reasons. You know what I mean? Motivational speaking to me, man, I miss it. I miss it. I love the connection. I love telling the stories. I love to be able to, the same way, just to make that connection. And then one of those things that I noticed every time I did it, whether it was in front of three kids or 300 people, there's always that couple of people, that are really, really just zoned in.
Yes.
And you can find them.
Yeah, you can.
And you make those little connections every time you're speaking, and you know, and you know you're reaching them, just like you said. Yeah. And it's just like, it's like, it's the most beautiful thing. If you ever have the courage to speak in front of people and tell your story, or if you have something to share, some knowledge that you can really, somebody can really profit from, man, it's a wonderful thing. So yeah, man, I commend you on that. I always like to ask those questions to you know, folks like yourself that have been pastors, that have been motivational speakers, that have done counseling, because I like to see what your perspective is on each one, because they're kind of very similar. You're helping people, and it's just great to see your perspective on that. So,
and I wanted to share this real quick, if you would allow me, because you just fired me up. And so you're right. The reason why I say identity is because for so long, what happens is, I didn't really operate and function with who I am. And really, really, I didn't even say I love myself till I was 40 years old. I looked in the mirror. I was driving down 22 towards Bethlehem. I looked in the mirror, tears. I said, dude, I love you. And that's the first time I ever said I love myself. And so that's why identity is super important for me. Yeah. But you are right. I have this phrase and it says, people are the greatest asset on the planet. I say, and don't get it twisted. And here's what I like to say. So I was in Athens Drives High School speaking to 300 ninth graders, right? And I asked them the question, what's the difference between success and significance? I asked it in a group with the law enforcement. I asked it too before, right? And this kid, right, it always takes people, even adults, maybe 40 seconds before they raise their hand. This kid, as soon as I got done, he raises his hand like this.
Wow.
Right in the middle, right front row middle. So I thought he was clowning me.
Yeah.
So I went over and I said, what's the difference? And this is exact, and I'll never forget this. He said, success will get you money. Significance will get you remembered.
Oh,
this is a ninth grader.
We'll see you guys later.
Seriously, that's success will get you money. Significance will get you remembered. And I'm telling you right now, the reason why I said, because you shared, the reason why I said it, because that's it. That's why I do. I want to make sure that my legacy is a legacy of significance and impact. You know what I mean? That when I die and they start speaking at my funeral, that people are able to say, yo, he loved people. He believed in people. He helped people achieve their dreams. And in the process, he was humble. He was meek. He was teachable. You could challenge him. You can ask him questions. And so for me, that's really what success and significance. I want to lead a significant life, because I believe if you need a significant life, the success comes with that.
Yeah. And you know what, man? And that's why I tell people to come out. Because what if people put you in their inner circle, guess what? You find that out. You find out quicker. You don't find that out when you're in your 40s or 30s, right? You find it out when you're in your 20s. And when you, if, again, your circle is who you are. Our parents talked about it all the time. This is why I want young folks to see these shows, because these shows are the ones that are going to open up your eyes quicker and understand that I want to live a significant life. What does that really mean? Right. And you're finding out today. And again, the quicker that you find that out, that's what life is about, legacy and leaving a mark in a positive way, man, all the other choices that come with it, or the bad choices that you could have made, they don't exist. They don't exist, you know?
That's right.
So that's powerful. So that leads me right into the question that I ask all of my guests, is something that I struggled with when at the age of 19, you know, as a young person. So I want another young 19-year-old or even a teenager to really hear your perspective. One piece of advice or some advice, because sometimes I say one piece of advice and people give me a couple, which is fine. But a piece of advice that you would give your 19-year-old self, if you could today, knowing everything you know.
So I would say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Hands down. I would say that, period. And that's all that really needs. But I will couple that with believe in yourself, believe in who you are, believe in you. Like, and so it would be Jesus, the way, the truth, and light, and believe in yourself. That's what I would tell my 19-year-old
self.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Yeah. And again, you know, if you live this way, your choices will be made that way, right? If you live exactly as a 19-year-old or teenager, you could figure this out and do exactly what Darian said just now. I guarantee you the choices that you make will be that much more better, you know, and you won't struggle as much. I mean, you're still going to struggle. This, we're human and we go through it. So I love it. I love it. It's something that's obviously for me as a 19-year-old, man, I struggled so much. I failed twice in high school. In my education, I struggled. I was the kid. We were the kids, right? We struggled. And And so for me to be able to give another 19-year-old or a teenager some advice coming from someone like you that has a lot of life experience and just the way that you are, the way that you carry yourself, very professional community leader, it's important and it holds weight. So I appreciate that, man. And we'll definitely love it. So, all right. What's next for Cohesion? What's next for Darian? What's next for you and your significant other and your family? What's next, man?
So I think for us, what's next is we really want to really expand the work that we do. And so for community organizing, you know, we believe we have a model that can work in any neighborhood, anywhere. And so we're in First and Sixth Ward right now. And now we're in Franklin Park community. And we mm-hmm. believe that this model can ripple across the city. There's already really other good community groups that are already happening. We just believe we have a model that's inclusive, that's collaborative. And it gives everyone in the community an on-ramp to change, leadership, and an opportunity to help their community. And also with character education, man, we're in Allentown, we expanded to Bethlehem, and we want to expand to the other local districts in the area, because guess what? Character education, I always say you need character education like you need math, English, and science. For real, because we can look in our community, we can look politically, religiously, athletically, people who have, some of them have the highest levels of education, but made horrible decisions, because character counts. Character and integrity counts. And so I always say, everyone, I don't care what district, I don't care if it's a marginalized district or a very, very suburban district, you still need character education. And we read about people who lack character in the paper or online or through your network and in positive discipline workshops. Man, this is one of my, so guess what? I have 4 adult kids and 8 grandchildren, Lewis. Wow. So guess what? When my kids were teenagers.
You don't look like it, man.
Man, I got 8.
What are you drinking over there?
I'm running like you and I'm working out.
Yeah,
but one of the things was when my kids were teenagers, when they were 13 and 14, let me tell you right now, Yolanda and I struggled. So guess what? We went out and got trained in positive discipline. And you know what we learned? We learned that positive discipline is a better way of teaching. Traditional ways of thinking is this. So traditionally we say, because I'm the parent, because I'm the educator, you need to listen to me.
Yeah.
But here's what positive discipline says, because I am the parent, because I am the teacher, I am going to listen to you. Mm. It's a mindset. It's a paradigm shift. Yeah. And so anyway, positive discipline should be for parents. We should be doing workshops for parents and teachers all across this greater Lehigh Valley, because it is. Mm-hmm. And we're in Bethlehem now. We've done it in Allentown. It's just a mind shift, a paradigm shift, but it's powerful. It worked for us with our adult kids, and it still works for our 8 grandkids. So we want to expand that for Yolanda and I personally. We want to grow this organization so we can continue to allow people an opportunity to serve, right? Because we do everything now, like you. We do everything. So if you see anything, if you see us out anywhere, we set it up unless we rented something out. We do everything. So guess what? We want to grow a little bit so we can hire some people to kind of, number one, allow them to do what they dream about doing, but also to help us facilitate collaboration, character education, and positive discipline.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So 3 more things, actually, very, very quick. We're almost done. But so your shirt, We Me.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so me and my friend Bill in Raleigh, North Carolina, we did a TED Talk back in 2016, March 16th of 2016, we did a TED Talk in Raleigh, North Carolina, and it says the TED Talk was entitled "The Best Version of Me Is We."
Ooh,
right?
Love it.
The best version of me is we, and I always say, if you think about this, think about our community and say, in the community, all the nonprofits, all the residents, all the people, government, schools, everyone, all of us has a piece of the answer, which means our creative solutions can only come from our togetherness.
That's awesome.
And I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say that again. All of us have a piece of the answer, which means our creative solutions can only come from our togetherness. We is so much more powerful and greater than me.
Yeah,
that's where the shirt came from.
Love it. Love it. Love it. You mentioned your spouse, long time. Middle school sweetheart, high school sweetheart, I assume, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I see her everywhere with you. You guys bring this tremendous energy. Man, it's just inspiring to see. We don't see it, you know, we don't see it often. People staying together for a very long time and really making. Tell us a little bit about her real quick, and we'll close it out.
Yeah. And so I always say, let me tell you, so I am the person I am that she believed in me in middle school and high school. She believed, let me just be honest. And listen, when I was in middle school, she was a whole head taller than me all throughout entire middle school. Even when she dated me, her friends were like, why are you dating that short dude with an afro? And then her friends would tell her that. And so she did that, right? But she said she saw something and she believed in me. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you right now, it matters who you date. It matters who you're with. Because let me tell you right now, they can build you up or they can tear you down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this one right here loves me enough to challenge me. Even when I come down off the platform and I'm speaking or I do something, she'll be the first one to say, you were off. You better do your work. Especially if I'm preaching, brother, you better spend some time with Jesus because you was off. Like, and she will challenge me. Or if I'm in a school and I'm speaking to students and she'll say I'm off, she will come up to me. Hey, you're off. Get it together. Do you need a moment? Because I'll step in, even though I'm a super introvert, brother, you're off. Like, she loves me enough to check me and challenge me. And so what I will say about her is she is like, that's why I'm so glad we get to do this together, because of her personality, she always was in the back making sure I was organized. But now that we do it together, we do this work together. Now it's me and her. Mm. Peanut butter and jelly, 10 speed and brown shoe, Starsky and Hutch. You know what I mean? Like, we are together in this. And so now when you see me at the schools, like we were at Rob Middle School today facilitating together. And it's so amazing, Lewis, to look across and see her sharing with students. And I'm like, wow, that's my wife. Most importantly, that's my best friend. People say you can't have a woman as a best friend. My wife is my role dog, my ace kumbu, my best friend. When I'm hurt, I want to talk to her. When I'm on the highest mountaintop, I want to talk to her. And everyone else is secondary after that. It's God and then it's my wife. And so what I want to say about her, she is an amazing best friend, an amazing wife, but she is the bomb mother, an amazing grandmother. And so for me, man, I will sing her praises because I am the man I am today because she loved me enough to challenge me, love me, and love me through my stuff. Because even though we've been together this long, people that know us, we've been through our ups and downs, even walking with Jesus, we've been through some ups and downs because guess what? When life happens, sometimes we respond differently, but because love is there, guess what? We're strong and we love each other. So,
Yolanda, you just got the biggest shout out on Socially Connected 360 all over. That's great. That's great, man. I love to see it, man. And young people, you know, this is the example, right? For instance, my brother and his wife and other wonderful couples that are strong. They work together. You know, I love to see it. You know, my significant other, she's head on with all the stuff she's doing as far as, you know, her entrepreneurship. You know, we work together. We motivate each other. And that's the way it is, man. You got to find if you're going to have a life partner, if that's your destiny, then find that life partner that really encourages you. And like you said, hold you accountable at all times. So much props for that. Last question. Where can people find you? They want to connect with you. They want to work with you. They want to help your nonprofit. They want to donate to your nonprofit or connect with you. Where would they go?
Yeah. So they can go to my website, cohesionnetwork.org. Go there, or you can reach me through Darian@cohesionnetwork.org. So if you go to my website, Cohesion Network, my phone number is there. My email is there. Reach out to me that way. Also, community meetings. If you live in the 1st and 6th Ward in Allentown, come out to a meeting March 3rd at Casa Guadalupe at 6 p.m. to 7:30. We do community meetings. Yep, right on 2nd Street. The first Thursday of every month, we're at Casa Guadalupe from 6 to 7:30 doing community meetings. Also, Franklin Park, the third Thursday of every month, we're at Franklin Park, you know, from 6 to 7 p.m. at St. Stephen's Church, which is 1421 Turner Street. So also come connect that way. Come out to a community meeting. So if you live in those communities or you just want to see what we're doing in the community, please come out and see what we're doing and participate. I think you would enjoy the impact that we're having and the love that we have for our community and our neighbors.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Always great to talk to you, brother. Thank you so much for being on the show. I have one request in the future, a couple shows from now. Love to have Yolanda on. We need to have more female representation on Socially Connected 360. Talk to her, talk a little bit about her life and her goals and some of, you know, some stuff on her end. So maybe you could talk to her and we can get her on SC360 as well.
Absolutely. I will let her know. But she's a super introvert.
You rock. Thank you so much. It's an honor to have you on my show. You have worked so hard in the community the last couple of years, man. I only wish you the best.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you as well. And with that said, peace, my brother.
No doubt. No doubt. There you have it, folks. SC360, episode 25 overall, season 2, episode 2. And there it is. Like I always say, stay connected.